Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program, Today's Issues. Steve Jordahl joins us now. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman and Dr. Ray Pritchard. If you want to join us on what Ed calls that, their internet, go to YouTube or Facebook and type in Today's Issues for your live video streaming there. And we also are posting the stories on our Facebook page that we discuss that you can read for yourself the details of the from the stories that we have for our topics here. All right, Steve, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
Well, I've been running down a huge bombshell breaking news, courtesy of the Babylon Bee, just so you know. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has overturned the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, saying it's unconstitutional.
Oh, man, those guys at the Babylon Bee are just comic geniuses.
They yep. are pretty good.
Who comes up with that stuff? It's fantastic.
I know. Oh, man. Now, Facebook banned the Babylon Bee. Again, folks, it's a satirical site because they interpreted one of their satirical articles as real the other day. Is that right?
Yeah, was it Facebook or Twitter? One of the two.
Oh, was it Twitter, Walker?
I'm not sure. One of the two.
Yeah, the statement was sometimes it's difficult for our algorithms to catch satire, I guess. But several times the Babylon Bee has been fact-checked by the Washington Post.
Yeah. I know. I guarantee you if this was a humor site on the left, there would be none of this.
The Onion, for example. I don't think I've ever seen them fact-check The Onion.
Anyway, so all right, next story.
All right. Yesterday, kind of late in the afternoon, the FBI called a fairly quick and spontaneous, well, it seemed, news conference. No one knew this was coming, but they came out and announced that the Iranian government and the Russian government had obtained voter registration data from some Americans. And this is according to Director of National Intelligence, John Ratcliffe. And the Iranian government was behind sending threatening emails to Democrat voters. The emails were purportedly from this group called the Proud Boys, a conservative group. And the emails said, "You will vote for Trump on Election Day or we will come after you. Change your party affiliation to Republicans to let us know you've received our message and will comply." They said that they also had hacked the voting logs to know how they'd be voting, which is false.
That was kind of, I'm not saying how you described it is convoluted or confusing, but the story itself is, Walker, so Iran, what?
Yeah, the cyber attacks coming from Russia and Iran, which do happen, where they stole voter information and they used that voter information to send false messages to voters, basically. And they were posing as actual groups here in America. So
what you're saying is the Iranians were trying to make the Proud Boys look like they were threatening voters.
Unless
they vote for Trump.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah, this is to get more people to vote for Biden. I know. Is that the end game?
Well, actually, John Ratcliffe actually commented on this a little bit, had an idea about why. This is cut four.
First, we have confirmed that some voter registration information has been obtained by Iran and separately by Russia. This data can be used by foreign actors to attempt to communicate false information to registered voters that they hope will cause confusion, sow chaos, and undermine your confidence in American democracy. To that end, we have already seen Iran sending spoofed emails designed to intimidate voters, incite social unrest, and damage President Trump.
Yeah, these cyber attacks, not just on the election system, but on many systems, are becoming, they seem to be becoming more and more frequent. This to me, this is the
talking about the ransomware type stuff.
Yeah, this is the new area of threats is cyberspace, and Iran and Russia and China, many of them are very advanced in cyber attacks.
So by appearing to be pro-Trump from the Proud Boys, they're actually an attack. Well, really, the first part of that statement was that they're trying to foment societal unrest, yes. Basically, right? And,
yes.
Well, that mission accomplished, I would say. Wow.
Yeah.
It's like, this is a clumsy analogy, but Ray, it would be like the First Baptist Church down the street saying, "You're going to come to our church or we're going to burn your house down." That wouldn't look good on
right.
the church's part.
Right.
You know, great observation, Steve.
Thank you. It's what you pay me for.
Threatening to burn down somebody's house would not endear them to visiting your church a second time, I guess, is what you're saying. Wow.
He brought it down for all of us to understand.
Yeah.
Thank you, Steve.
Absolutely. Next story, Steve.
All right. The Associated Press, we've been talking... we've been talking for a while about how the media is kind of in the bag for Joe Biden. And to this end, Associated Press is providing cover for all the Antifa, Black Bloc, Black Lives Matter rioters that are destroying inner city America. The Associated Press wrote that an overwhelming part of these leftist radicals or these leftist people are just regular citizens caught up in the moment. Many are young suburban adults. You know, President Trump portrays the hundreds of people arrested nationwide as protests against racial injustice as violent or urban left-wing radicals. He does that to scare suburban voters, but that's not the truth, according to the Associated Press. These are just normal kids who've gotten a little carried away.
Kids?
Well, most of the people that are being arrested are, you know, 20s and 30s.
So you just happened to be standing there, and you saw the people looting, and you joined in. You got carried away in the moment, right?
Yeah. Wow. You went down to because you're passionate about racial equality.
Right.
Uh-huh. So
it's another example of the media going.
How does that translate to getting a 70-inch flat screen TV? Would be my.
You just got carried away. That's all.
Yeah, you're carrying it away, all right.
Yes.
I've actually heard some people try to excuse the looting as reparations for, you know, slavery.
That's ridiculous.
You know what's funny, though, is no matter what the reason is there's no way to, like, make it sound good.
No.
You know, even if some of them just got impassioned and decided they're going to burn down a building.
Hadn't that all quieted down now, though? I'm not hearing much about Portland, Seattle, New York.
Portland's every night still, but nobody covers it because it's
maybe it happened. It's maybe it's still happening, and it's just, you know, another night in the news. But I haven't seen much. Have y'all in the last week or so?
It's obviously not like it was. It's not widespread. But
right.
Portland, yeah, that's become the norm for Portland.
You might want to keep an eye on Minneapolis tonight. This morning, a judge dismissed second-degree murder charge or manslaughter charges against Derek Chauvin. That's the officer that was accused of putting his knee Floyd's neck.
Saying those charges were dismissed?
The second-degree murder charge or manslaughter charges, no, second-degree murder charges were dismissed. The third-degree manslaughter charges were upheld.
Okay.
Now, the difference there would be that a second-degree murder charge would be more along the lines of the officer intended to kill George Floyd.
Yeah, my understanding, and this would be an Abe question, obviously, but my understanding is a murder charge means that whether premeditatedly or not, you intend to kill somebody.
But the manslaughter...
That, I could run somebody over by my car and be charged with
the
manslaughter.
The manslaughter is you're still responsible for the death of an individual, but your intent was not necessarily to kill him.
Right.
Basically.
Right.
That's what I think. That's what most people thought would be the charge against the officer or officers. Certainly, Chauvin, I guess, is the officer's name, but not the intentional murder. That wouldn't hold up, and that seems to be what the judge said.
I wouldn't, yes, but my point, I think, is that I wouldn't put it past, I'd keep my eye on Minneapolis tonight because right. There could be
well,
some.
I think, too, what's going to happen in that case is it's going to be, is that going to go to a jury?
I don't know.
Seems to me it'd go to a jury.
It has to at some point.
Yeah,
well, yeah. I guess sometimes
he can't be sentenced without first going through
that's true.
Due process.
Okay, well, here's the big question in that case that hasn't been talked about much. George Floyd died, obviously, but the question will be: did the fact that the officer knelt on his neck for what 10 minutes? Something like that or more?
Yeah.
No, I think it was a little less, but it was, it was an extended amount of time.
Did that cause the death of the officer, or was it the fact that George Floyd was high on
a couple of narcotics?
Yeah.
But the reason is, I say that is, because George Floyd was complaining about not being able to breathe before he was put on the ground. So some are suggesting that he was so high on drugs that it was causing him to hyperventilate or not be able to breathe, and so the death was not caused by, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's going to be hard for the defendant in this case, the officer, and by the way, there's four defendants, four officers, and it looks like 8 out of the 9 charges will stand. The one charge Steve mentioned on third degree is the one dismissed. The other 8 will stand, and they'll face a jury in the county this happened. But
I think he'll be convicted.
Yeah, it's going to be hard for the defendant to disconnect the death and with the officer's knee on the neck. That's going to be a really hard case.
I agree. I think he'll be found guilty of the third-degree murder charge. Probably one officer. The other 3, I don't know what they'll get.
It may not have been the primary cause of death, but it was. It could be labeled a contributing factor to the death.
Yeah, but he was complaining on the video.
Right.
George Floyd was, Ray. He couldn't breathe. Remember that? Before he was ever...
Right, before he was ever put on the ground. And
yeah. So what?
Look, the defense is going to argue that this. They're going to argue that point, and they're also going to argue that in the Minneapolis police training that was allowed. The knee on the neck was allowed. So that's going to be part of the. That's going to be central to their argument. But I'm with you, Tim. I think Chauvin, at least he's going to be convicted of something.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. The part of that story I'm not a police officer. I'm not trained. I understand it about as much as the average lay person in terms of police work, how they're supposed to handle cases. But I, in that situation, in that video, I never understood why Officer Chauvin decided to keep his knee on the neck of the fella for 10 minutes or more. You might look it up, Walker. It was close to 10 minutes because I was thinking to myself, you have a guy on the ground, right? He's handcuffed. He's face down, isn't he?
Yep.
What harm could he possibly do?
7 minutes, 46 seconds.
7 minutes. Okay, 7 minutes. I'm just thinking to myself, what harm could he possibly do to anybody if you're laying face down on the ground with 4 police officers around you? And if you roll over and you're handcuffed, it's going to be very painful. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I didn't understand that. I didn't understand the need to put your knee. But again, I'm not a police officer. Maybe there was a reason he needed to do that.
Well, I don't think in hindsight, there's a justifiable reason for 7 minutes and 46
what
seconds.
What if Chauvin, Officer Chauvin, just was ticked?
Yeah, I mean, that's possible.
Here
that
we happens. Are. Yeah. Huh? This guy's smarting off to us.
Resisting
arrest. Yeah. We're having to wrestle with him a little bit. And you know what?
I'm frustrated.
I'm frustrated. Yeah. I'm just going to sit here on his neck for about 5 minutes here. And
yeah. You can lose your cool, and that's when
I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. You should be trained not to, but he's human, and maybe he got in that way, and his life's over for any practical purpose going forward. But I'm talking about Chauvin. His life is never going to be the same. I should put it that way. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story, Steve.
I want to go ask you guys to come with me behind the scenes in the Biden campaign when they're sitting around looking at their media strategy. And what do you suppose the discussion was like around the table when they decided that this was a great commercial for Joe Biden to air? Cut three.
America was an idea. An idea. We hold these truths to be self-evident. We've never lived up to it, but we've never walked away from it before. And I just think we have to be more honest and let our kids know as we raise them what actually did happen. Acknowledge our mistakes so we don't repeat them.
Vote for me.
I don't have a problem with acknowledging your mistakes.
I think the headline on that, Steve, was about the America as an idea.
Yeah, well, yeah. To we've never lived up to the ideal.
What, he's pandering. He's pandering to black people, right there. It's an election year. That's what he's doing. He's trying to and white guilt. He's trying to get the white guilt vote. It's just pandering. You know what? Do we not know that America, the story of America, has also had problems and hasn't been perfect, and that slavery was an evil that needed to be eradicated? Do we all not know that already? Mm-hmm. We went through a civil war.
Right.
So we're now a century of such a century and a half removed from the Civil War. We're near 60 years removed from, 55 or so, removed from the civil rights movement. The advancements for people of color in America have been off the charts. Mm-hmm. Off the charts. That's why you can elect a black man to be president for two terms for 8 years, is because the vast majority of Americans don't care about your skin color. And in any endeavor, sports, entertainment, business, medicine, whatever you can name, people don't care what skin color you are. That's only can you do the job, and can you do a good job at whatever it is you're involved in. The advantage is also that minorities have in America to try to right the wrongs of the past are great. I mean, scholarships. President Trump just did something no other president had ever done. He fully funded the
historically black colleges and universities.
Yes, and that's been so. There you go. There's another example. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that I think that the systemic racism argument is a bunch of garbage, just meant to perpetuate and try to foster racial hatred.
Yeah.
Just for the benefit of people who would be race baiters.
Right.
And a particular political party who benefits from a made-up strife between white people and black people, or white people and people of color.
Yeah.
That's what I... And what Biden's doing right there is just pandering to that. That's all he's doing, mm-hmm. just pandering to that. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You got it.
Think I got that right, Ray, or where did I go wrong?
The commercial itself is a little boring, isn't it? I mean, I don't know.
America's an idea.
It reminded me of when
Biden boring. Those words don't go together, right? Where do you? This guy's electrified.
It's a little bit okay. The commercial a little bit sleepy. How about that?
There you go.
It kind of reminded me though of when Michelle Obama said, "For the first time in my life, I'm proud of America." To say that it's an idea and we've never lived up to it, that to me is
what is the idea? He didn't explain what the idea was that we never have lived up to.
Yeah.
Well, he did say
he's been in elected office for 47 years and he still hadn't fixed it yet.
Yeah, so. it's just pandering. That's all it is.
If you think you're going to win on talking about how bad America is and we're still bad, that's a loser.
Better go back to the basement and work on that commercial thing a little bit more. I don't know.
All right, go.
The president has a lot of strengths. I think computer security might not be one of them. A Dutch security expert managed to access the president's Twitter account on his fifth attempt because the password was MAGA2020.
No, that's impossible. That's impossible.
If I'm Biden, I'm bringing that up tonight.
Right?
Anyway, is this a joke?
No.
No, it's not.
When did his account get breached?
I suppose it was recently. This just came out from the Guardian.
It's a few days ago.
Yeah. And the so same
Trump's,
guy.
Trump's Twitter account was breached, and we're just now hearing about it?
Yeah, I am. It could be that he
I
got in there.
That would be a big story.
Maybe they had safeguards to keep him from actually using it.
You sure this wasn't a Babylon Bee story?
No, I'm reading it out of the Guardian.
Okay.
And it also says.
It sounds like a Babylon Bee story.
It also says that the same guy hacked the same account in 2016 because his password then was, "You're fired."
Oh, please.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. People who are 70 and older don't need to be setting passwords to anything. Okay?
This happened last week, according to The Guardian.
So the password's MAGA?
MAGA2020.
MAGA2020. That was the president's?
Well, the president's Twitter account? Yeah. Are you sure about this, Steve?
Well,
we're just reading it here.
The Guardian could have it wrong, but I'm accurately reading The Guardian.
All right, Walker's doing some research on it right now. That sounds
It sounds crazy.
Yeah. It doesn't sound like it's true, but maybe it is. All right, Steve, you got 1 minute here. You got anything good?
Well, I was going to talk about what the Democrats are planning on doing, or at least the resistance is planning on doing after the election. I don't know if we can do it in 1 minute. But
that's not good, Steve.
It is not good.
No, that doesn't encourage anybody.
You know, I could give you another Babylon Bee headline.
Go.
The Fisher-Price, the kids' toy manufacturer, has come out with, for your child, my first peaceful resistance shack. And it comes complete with spray paint. You can put graffiti on the side of it and a little bit of propellant and matches. You can set it on fire.
That's a story from the Babylon Bee.
It is from the Babylon Bee.
Yeah, but we all paused because
I know. In today's world.
It could be true.
Well, that's what makes satire funny is when it's something that is so ridiculous, but yet you go, huh?
Well,
that might have happened. That might have happened. We live in a crazy world.
It could.
Today. Okay, thank you, Brother Steve.
My pleasure.
And we thank everybody for listening to American Family Radio. Walker?
Yes, sir.
Did you find out anything more?
Getting mixed reviews.
On that, and what Steve just talked about?
Yeah.
All right.
We can look at more into it.
Thank you, Ray.
You bet. Thank you, Tim.
Thanks to Steve, Walker, Fred, and our producer, Brent Creeley, and we appreciate you listening. Okay, Thursday it is, so tomorrow is Trivia Friday. So we will, Ed is going to be here, JJ is going to be here, I'll be back. So we'll have a good time tomorrow. In the meantime, we hope you have a wonderful day and be sure to tune in to the presidential debate this evening. See you tomorrow, folks.